They're hopeful that they can get it to me by 5 o'clock tomorrow. So if that's the case, then we'll have it here on Saturday. But if not, then we'll have to figure out a way to get any of you that are interested in it to actually see it. It was shown at the CSUN conference, and it was shown at the recent CTE BVI conference, but both of those were in Southern California. CSUN, of course, in San Diego, and CTE BVI this year in Los Angeles. Do you all know what those conferences are? Okay. The CSUN conference, actually, I believe it was their 29th? Yeah. 29th conference, and it's actually CSUN stands for the California State University Northridge. But in our assistive technology field, it's known as a conference that actually started, must be in 1985 then. Yes, it does. It's the International Conference on Persons. Yeah, that's what it is. So, yeah, the International... What is it, a conference on products and technology for persons with disabilities? But, you know, very much, it's very much blind and low vision oriented. It was started by Harry Murphy, Dr. Harry Murphy at CSUN, and it still goes on. And it's one of the two largest assistive technology, along with Closing the Gap, that would be one of the three largest conferences for assistive technology in the United States. And the CTE-BVI conference is a bit more of a closed conference. That one is for transcribers and educators of the blind and visually impaired. So that's really the teachers and the transcribers here in California. They have the even years, I guess it's in the south, and the odd years it's in the north. And normally when it's in the north, it's at the Marriott in Burlingame. And normally Saturday is open to the public. So, you know, parents bring kids and teachers bring kids and seniors wander in. So, you know, we want to look for that. It's always in March or April. And it's going to be before CSUN this year. So it's going to be in early March. Yeah, they always have followed CSUN. Okay, I'm going to babble about a whole bunch of topics of low vision information for the most part, okay? But let me tell you a little more about me, for those of you that may not know me. I'm 31 years old, good looking. I can only get away with this, you know, with a group of blind or low vision people. Yeah, that's right. okay. Well, when I wasn't born in the United States, because when I was born in Hawaii, it wasn't a state yet. Anybody know what year Hawaii became a state? 59. There you go. Yeah, and we have a chip on our shoulder in Hawaii. My family's been in Hawaii since the 1860s, and we think the only reason why we became a state was because Pearl Harbor was bombed. So. We were the last after Alaska. Yeah. It's another reason we have a chip on our shoulder. Okay. That's right, 50th State Fair. I came to California for college, went to a small school, was visually impaired. I lost my vision my senior year in high school, and I was a jock, and I was supposed to go to University of Southern California on a baseball scholarship. And in February of my senior year, that all changed. I came down with optic nerve atrophy. It turned out it's congenital. And so I have my left eye just has light perception, no useful vision. When I say left, I mean my right eye. My right eye has no useful vision. My left eye has 5%. So just so you know, if you have a question, either wave your hand wildly and I might see you, or just speak up and ask your question. We can be informal. The group is small enough. And as you would have it, I was the first client in the state of Hawaii that they purchased a video magnifier, a desktop video magnifier for. And hopefully I made it worthwhile for them by getting an education with it. But I left the state with that asset. So, but you know what? That unit still works. It's from 1974. It had been repaired twice, and it still works. Of course, I don't use it every day. So, yeah, I started, so you could say I started when I was 17 years old with video magnifiers. And as it would be, after I got a master's degree, I called the company up and I said, what do you do internationally? I got a master's degree in international business. The company said, nothing. I said, why? There's only 250 million people in the United States, and there's about 4 billion people around the world. You know, people in other countries are visually impaired too. So after a lunch, I was hired to be the international sales manager. So that's where it all started, and I've been in this field now. This would be my, actually, May 4th will begin my 33rd year. So, I'm testing your math. I started on May 3rd, 1982. So now you can start calculating. I just got my master's degree, so you can start calculating. How old is someone when they get a master's degree? Yes. No, I actually went to work at Visual Tech in 1982. Yeah. I've used a video magnifier since 1974. And the video magnifier I got when I went to Visual Tech to work, I looked up the serial number of my video magnifier. And I was the 34th customer. but I'm told that the unit that I have is not the oldest one. That the original owner, Larry Israel of Visual Tech, has number one. Okay, is that better? Okay, I just needed to angle it, I think.
I must apologize to everyone, but they altered the convention format on this day and did not let me know about the changes, and so we had to make some negotiations that ALD, sorry.
Okay, does this sound better? Now I have a deeper voice. Yeah, do I sound sexier now? All right. Younger. Okay. So, you know, by that, I just want to let you know that, you know, I've taken a special interest in this industry. Even though I'm the president of HIMSS, and I'll let you know more about HIMSS for those of you that may not know, I actually talk about all products. I like to be a walking encyclopedia. There's some people that know a whole lot more than I know, but I like to challenge them whenever we encounter each other. somebody may know one of the names, Tom Persky. I love challenging Tom's knowledge. Okay, so, you know, ask away, you know, about anything that's low vision for sure. If it's in the blindness area, I'm probably going to know a little bit. I know enough to refer you to someone else who knows more than I do. One of the things about being president I want you to remember is I know everything about nothing and nothing about everything. Having said all that, let me get into the presentation because I know we got started a little late. I'll start with EBOT because that was the original topic. So I ask you, wouldn't it be cool if there was a video magnifier camera that worked with an iPad? Does anybody know of one? iPad has a camera built in, but can you use that camera like a video magnifier and read? Actually, there's a couple of companies that sell a little lens accessory kit you can put on the iPad, but it's not really for reading. It's more for looking at a distance. It's distance lenses. So you can magnify a little bit more at a distance. But there's no way to feed a video signal into an iPad display. Okay, the iPad has no video input. The USB that it has on it is USB out, not USB in. And there's no VGA, there's no HDMI. Okay? So I'm sure that HIMSS was not the first one to come up with the idea. I'm sure others came up with the idea. In fact, HIMSS probably got it from someone else. It's called the company's listening to feedback. Okay? And nothing wrong with that. Everything's right about that. I've worked with four companies over my 33 years, plus my own company for 12 years. And listening is usually not a forte of most manufacturers and engineering companies. And usually when you ask them, to do something, it either goes in one ear and out the other. It doesn't go onto a list. Or they say to you, it can't be done. So what we said was, okay, let's test the hypothesis. It's not been done yet. The iPad doesn't have a video input. No one really knows how to do it. So let's try to disprove the hypothesis that... Yeah, turn your cell phones off. We're like a movie theater. it's an alarm. Okay. I'm sorry. Is everything okay? There you go. All right. I'm sorry. I thought it was one of those customized ringtones. All right. Okay. So we set this hypothesis. Let's try to prove that a video magnifier cannot be connected to an iPad, and for that matter, an Android tablet, because an Android doesn't have a video input either. So we started off, and guess what's the first thing that everybody thinks of about how to connect, since there's no cable? There you go. Yeah, see, everybody thought that. It's too slow. See, our engineers do that, knew that before we spent any money. So what's the other way? You'll probably get this one right. Wi-Fi. There you go. But, the difficulty is Canon actually has a patent on capturing a screen display, then shooting it over the Wi-Fi or an image, a screen image, shooting it over Wi-Fi to another screen. They actually have a patent on that, on how they do it. So that's simple. You know what that is? It's called a print screen. when you print, you see an image on your computer screen, or you know it's there, and you hit print screen, and then it basically spools over to your printer and prints? Well, that's basically what Canon did. No big deal, right? But they got a patent because they were the first to do it. Well, we can't do that with a video magnifier. Do you know why? No. Because the image is dynamic. Because what is a person doing under a video magnifier camera? They're moving the display and reading. They're moving their paper. They're reading. They're writing. So it's dynamic. So how do we handle all that movement? If we take a quick snapshot and shoot it over the Wi-Fi and display it, then we got to take another one. Right. It's just not quick enough to send full screens over. Data compression, right. See, you guys could be engineers. Yeah, you got to work too hard when you're an engineer, right? You get too much pressure from the ownership of your company. So, exactly. You see, when we lead you through logic, you can figure it out. It's not rocket science what we do, but it takes a lot of effort. And because of that compression, which we have to compress a lot of data very quickly, send it over Wi-Fi, and then we have to, decompress it very quickly and display it on an iPad or an Android tablet, because we can't display it on a monitor by Wi-Fi because the monitor has no way to accept Wi-Fi. We have to display it on a device that can accept Wi-Fi, so an iPad, an Android. What else? A laptop, right? A Wi-Fi PC. Theoretically, we could do it on an iPhone. We haven't done it because the iPhone is small. So our first unit is a single user, and we wanted to do it on an iPad. So it will work on the iPad mini and an iPad and Android tablets, but not on the smartphones. But in theory, we could reformat it, but it's going to take a lot of reformatting because the geometry of the screen is different. So in order for things to be displayed in its proper proportionality, we can't just use the same app. No. Y- Yes, there's differences in the monitor display. That's why the iPad Air is so thin. It uses a different screen and lightweight. But as far as we're concerned, it's an algorithm that we put together that any screen that's from 7 inches, roughly 7 inches, up to any size TV monitor is going to work. But below 7 inches, we haven't formatted it for that. That's why it won't work on the smartphones. The Windows 8 tablets are actually easy because Windows has video input, allows video input. For example, a Microsoft Surface, all you have to do is plug in the USB, and it's going to work with a Surface. Okay? So that part would be easy. The Surface is like a laptop. It's like a Mac or a Windows laptop. Staying with this technology, so we compress, then we shoot it over Wi-Fi, and we decompress. And how fast do we need to do that? Fast enough so your eye doesn't see that we're doing that. So that's the simple process in layman's terms that we're doing, but this process now has 4 patents and 2 more patents pending. So HIMSS is the first company to have a video magnifier that will display on an iPad or Android tablet. We've designed the eBot so it will do reading, writing, and distance magnification viewing. So the eBot was a project name. Do we know what the E stood for originally? Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, that was what the engineer said it was. Guess when they sent me the project name, guess what I turned it into? It does reading, writing, and distance. Well, in classrooms, the students need to see at a distance, so I said it stands for Education Bot. And so we started designing it more for the features for students. And then I changed it halfway through the project when I found out it could be done. And I said, E also stands for Employment Bot. And then I changed it when I knew it was going to become a product. And I said it stands for Everything Bot or Everyone Bot. So the bot is because it kind of looks like a robot in a way, you know, the way the arm comes up in the camera. Basically, if you can picture it. Since I'm not going to have it physically here, hopefully I will, but not at the moment. So it has a platform, about a 9 by 12 inch platform. Okay, so it fits your 8.5 by 11 standard paper or book in the U.S. And then it has a back base that goes left and right across, and that's where your control panel is going to be. That's where the main circuit board is. That's where the battery is going to be held. It uses a lithium ion rechargeable battery, user replaceable. The user can pop it out, pop another battery in. And it has all the buttons, you know, for changing the magnification, selecting the image mode, selecting your contrast level so you have a good, crisp, clear image. On-off button, it has a connectors in the back. The connectors that we use are remember, it's Wi-Fi, so we don't need any connections for iPad and Android tablet. But for laptops, we can either go Wi-Fi to laptops, or we can use a USB 2.0 or USB 3.0 for Windows PC, depending what the PC has on it. And we have both connectors on the eBot. For MacBooks, it only will take USB 3.0. Macs always want to only take the fastest. And for monitors, we have an HDMI. Okay. So that tells you what? If we have an HDMI connector, that tells you it has an HD camera. Okay, so not all portable video magnifier cameras have HDs. Desktops, they almost all have HDs today. If they don't, it's because the company wants to offer you a lower-priced model of a standard definition and not a high definition. Okay, and so eBot has an HD camera. So the image is actually quite sharp, even on an iPad. And that at the shows, sighted people are amazed that it's how sharp it is, and the technical people who know understand what we've done inside, they're actually quite impressed. Engineers from other companies are quite impressed. You can see the look on their face, like, "How are you doing this?" As they're looking at it, they're trying to figure it out, but it's going to take more than, you know, 10-minute demonstration for them to figure it out. They'll have to go read the patent files and and see what kind of patents it has. Yes, you can change the text color and the background color from a palette of 56 So there's basically eight colors and eight backgrounds. So normally you'd say 8 times 8 is 64, except you cannot put the same color on the same color. So you have to subtract 8. So 64 minus 8, we got 56. So just testing your math again. Okay, so it does. It's full of features, actually. So, okay, so it's reading, writing, and distance. We have connectivity with iPad and Android tablets, with Windows PCs and laptops, Macs. Any monitor, as long as it has an HDMI video input, which almost all of them do for the last 10 years. So any monitor size. The magnification is kind of interesting because the camera actually has 73 zoom levels. Normally, cameras only have 50 or 60. We picked a camera that has 73 because we knew people are going to be displaying it on a smaller monitor than normal. Normal video magnifiers maybe are 14 inches up to 24 inches, but people are going to be displaying it on a 9.7-inch iPad. So we picked a camera that, instead of going only up to 60, goes up to 73 zoom levels. Yeah, good point, Bernice. Why did the company stop at 73? That can be. But that doesn't mean that the magnification is 73. Okay, that's the zoom of the camera. Because the magnification also depends on what? Size of your monitor. So if you have a 9.7-inch iPad, you're getting 0.8 magnification up to 35x. So 0.8 to 35. If you have a 17-inch laptop computer, you're getting roughly 1.5 to 69. If you have a 24-inch monitor, you're getting 2.2 to 97. Okay. Actually, do any of you know Dave Wilkinson? Dave Wilkinson's on our staff. He actually is blind. He's got a little bit of vision. So he actually likes to follow you. He stays on your right shoulder and kind of follows you. You can see shadows. But he always has a cane with him. And Dave actually held the iPad up to his eye and could actually read with it. And it's actually hard for him to read on a regular desktop video magnifier, I guess because of the angle of the screen. He could hold the iPad at some angle, and he was reading letters, and it was like a little boy in a candy store. we took a couple of pictures of him. We're going to put it on the website. Even Dave can read with EBOT. Except it's not really true. He only does his guess at letters, but he guesses right. So, okay, so we have all that connectivity, okay, and we have reading, writing, and distance, but guess what? We added something more. Video magnifiers have been merging with OCR, optical character recognition, scanning engines, okay? And that's hardware, and it scans the printed page, okay? And then we use text-to-speech to speak it out, read it out loud to you, okay? And so that's what we've done. We've added OCR and text-to-speech to the EBOT as well. No. Yeah, none of the OCRs will recognize handwriting. It has to be printed. Oh, the question is, does the EBOT's OCR recognize handwriting? And the answer is no. No OCR recognizes handwriting yet. And it's really hard because handwriting is literally an image. It's a graphic. Yeah. You know, someone made a joke and said, well, they're not teaching the kids in school anymore how to do handwriting. And so it won't be an issue. It'll just go away. Another 40 years, it won't be an issue. So here we go. There's three models, actually, of EBOT. There's EBOT, which is reading, writing, and distance, does not do the OCR, okay, but it has all the connectivity. And there's EBOT Advanced, which has OCR, but there's different forms of OCR in the low vision or the video magnifier field. And let me try to describe these two to you. The OCR of the EBOT Advanced is what we call a screen image or screen capture OCR. What you see on the screen is what it's capturing and reading to you. if some of you go back to the DOS days, you know, and remember a term, WYSIWYG? What you see is what you get. Well, in this case, what you see is what you hear. Okay? So the eBot Advanced, actually what you see on the screen is what it's going to read to you. Now, there's a difference between seeing and reading, because I may as well take it down to about 2x so I can get as much on the screen as possible and then press the OCR R button and then let it read to me. I don't want to bring it up to 50x and have it read to me 12 words, right? Yeah, 73x and three letters, right. So really you want to take it down to, I can tell you, if you take it down to 0.8, which is less than 1x, it really doesn't have good recognition because it's a live video camera. It's not an OCR camera that's being used. It's a single camera, and it really is at its best from 4x and above. So if you bring it to about 4x and you have it read a screen, what you're going to get is you'll get the whole page across. You'll get an 8.5 by 11 across, and you'll get 50 to 60% down an 8.5 by 11 screen. There's a menu setting. Oh, the question is, what does it do with columns and tables? There's a menu setting in the OCR section of the menu. You set it. If it's a full page of text or if it's columns, once you set it, it knows, for example, columns, it has to read down first and then go back up to read the next column. So that's actually rather standard now in OCR software. So we don't have to do anything real special. Normally we just buy the code, or you there's a bunch of codes out there that will do it. We select the one that we think works best with our programming for the rest of eBot, and we basically pay that company a little royalty, 5 cents, you know, a buck for every time every unit we sell. Yeah, let's give you the microphone.
Now, I like to track while I'm listening. So if I were to make it small, could I blow it back up again so I could use it?
Yeah, the good question. We anticipated that. So when you take it down to 2x or 4x, so you can get a lot of information read to you, we realize you can see it, but you can't read it. Because if you could, you probably don't need a video magnifier, right? So, yes, when it's reading back to you, again, it's settings in the OCR menu. You can set it for a full screen. So it'll fill the screen with text, and the current version that's going to be released, it's set at about 15x. And it highlights the word that's being read. And so it's kind of like follow the bouncing ball. So it highlights the word that's being read as it's reading, and it gives you as much text that will fit on the screen at 15x. Another way is you could set it up like a ticker tape. Okay, so it's all one line, and it's reading across. Again, it's at 15x, so you're able to see maybe, if we say 6 letters makes up your average word, you're able to see about 4 or 5 words at a time, and the word that's being spoken at the time is highlighted. So there's various views, we call them, and you can set up various views that you can follow and track visually when it's speaking. You can set the text speed, so you can set the reading rate, you can set the reading volume, you can choose a male or female voice. The voice that we use is a cappella. You're familiar with that? What are the voices? Ryan and Heather? Okay, so those are the voices you get. Some of you, if you're technical and you know the OCR scanning engines, we're using Abby. Okay, almost everybody's using Abby these days as a scanning engine. The menu. Now it's interesting. Now the menu. I've been mentioning this menu. So how large do you need to magnify the menu? And if you enlarge it, then the menu can go below the bottom of your screen. So now you have to have scrolling capabilities and. Well, here we did something a little different. That back control panel also has a voice built into it. So we call it voice guide. And when you're going through the menu, it actually can speak the menu out to you. So we don't have to enlarge the menu for you. The menu is displayed at about 7x, and so I can actually see it just barely, but if I put my glasses on, I can see it reasonably well. And I normally use about 10x on a video magnifier. But having the voice guide, I just sit back more comfortably and let the voice guide tell me, you know, as I go down, 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 and it says contrast, image, markers, initialization, which is reset, OCR. And then there's actually a, for the whenever you have the eBot Advanced, you get a wireless remote control. And on it, it's divided into three sections as you from top to bottom of the remote. The top section is your navigation. Your middle section of buttons is for your live video, like changing your zoom level and your image mode. And your bottom section is for your OCR. So even though when you first look at it, you go, this thing's got 14 buttons on it. But once you split it up into those three zones, now you only have three or four, you know, four buttons for each zone. So now it's a lot simpler. So you basically use a cursor cross, north, south, east, west, or 12, you know, 3, 6, and 9 buttons. That's how you navigate through your menu, and it's being spoken to you. You can actually disable the voice guide if you don't want it in the menu, but if you're in an area where only, you know, you want to hear it or you shouldn't be disturbing the others, then there is an earphone jack that you can plug into as well. Question? The buttons are also physically on the voice guide, yeah. And the buttons are also physically on the remote control. And while we're talking about user interfaces, like where are the buttons located for you to select your functions, when you're connecting to a Mac or a PC, your interface is your keyboard. So you don't have to take your hands off your keyboard. You can zoom from your keyboard. You can change your image mode from your keyboard. Change your contrast. A lot of features, well, essentially all the features can be selected from the keyboard. You can press two buttons together to snap the OCR camera. Okay? And the thing about eBot 2, the OCR processing, the processing speed, once you snap the image, the processing speed and the accuracy of the processing is what's important. And eBot is actually quite fast and quite accurate. So, yes? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say the unit itself, the eBot, is standalone, but you should be connecting it to a screen. It's designed as a low-vision product. So you should be connecting to it's the first and only video magnifier that's compatible with iPad or Android tablets. That's its first big claim to fame. Now we know you're the guy, John. Wayne Dick. Okay.
So James, after this meeting ends, and we can run a little longer, please deal with this gentleman that I was telling you, the professor.
Yes. when he said Wayne Dick, I remember you and I just talked about him a week ago. All nice things, Wayne. So the pricing, okay, you want to get right to the chase, do you? Well, there's one more model. I'll describe this other model real quick, and then I'll give you the pricing. Stop to number two. There's the third model. The third model is called eBot Pro. And eBot Pro has all of the reading, writing distance, and OCR, all of the connectivity with iPads and laptops and monitors. But it also has a motorized camera. So instead of you physically, manually grabbing the camera and moving it from the near position to the distance position and removing the close-up lens, okay, what it has on the remote control, a button called far and a button called near. So if the camera is in the near position, meaning it's pointing down because you're doing reading or writing, and you want to go to the far position, you press the far button. And it automatically, the kind of motor it's using is basically the same kind of motor that's moving an autofocus lens in a camera. Okay, just so you don't think that it's using a Chevy motor, okay? It's not a big, huge, clunky thing these days. It's all electronics. And it's being driven by power. Okay, so And so you do hear a little, you know, as it moves, okay? And it's really a balance between how fast we move the camera and how loud the sound is. The faster we move the camera, the louder the sound's going to be. So right now, the camera will move from the near to far or the far to near position in 3.8 seconds. If you want to view something at a distance, like a student in a classroom, you might want to view the whiteboard or the smart board. If you're in a presentation, conference room, you know, like happens in our office, we're always making PowerPoint presentations. I can't see them. Or when I'm in a management meeting, you know, we have a 55-inch monitor, and you know, we have the quarterly reports on there and the sales reports. I could actually, you know, view it. Yeah, exactly, which I have done. Said, where are you guys talking about again? And I'm putting my fingers all over the monitor. That's right. Now I can't act like I don't know. Yes, Donna. Then I'll get to your question here on my left. Oh, same question. How heavy is the e-bot? And it does collapse, okay? It will collapse. And compact. The eBot Advanced is 4.4 pounds. The eBot Pro is actually 5.4 pounds. And the reason is we added a second camera to the eBot Pro as well. We added the second camera because it has a dedicated OCR camera. So remember I mentioned there's different types of OCR scanning? Well, guess what this one does? It doesn't do the screen capture OCR. It does a full page OCR. Okay, and so that's why we have the dedicated OCR camera. And the OCR camera is the one that stays stationary. It's always looking at your paper, okay, in case you want to snap an OCR image. It's the live video camera that moves from the near reading and writing position to the distance position. And here's the neat thing about it. Even though it takes 3.8 seconds to move, and we might put into the menu that you can select the speed of the camera, okay? But if you make it run go faster, the noise is going to be louder. So if you're using it in your own home, maybe you don't care. Using it in a classroom, maybe you care. Okay, but this, to me, the speed doesn't matter that much because here's the glory of it. The camera memorizes the last location it was at. It memorizes the last location. It also memorizes the zoom level, your magnification level, your contrast level, your image mode, all of the display image characteristics before it changes from one position to the other. But what that means is, let's say I'm reading. Okay, I'm in a class and I'm reading something. Oh, now I need to see the whiteboard, something on the whiteboard. So I press the far button, it takes 3.8 seconds and it goes to the position where it was at. So, which is pointing somewhere on the whiteboard. Okay, now I need to pan around because the instructor wrote something different or wrote something new on the whiteboard. How do I pan? I can't grab the camera and move it because it's being controlled by its motor. So on the remote control, I have a little joystick that you use with your thumb. And it actually works. I love it. I was amazed that they could find one that would work like this. And you just move it left or right, up or down, and you can pan your camera around. And I have more control. It's more sensitive. So I have more control over that joystick than I do when I actually grab the camera and start moving it. When I move it, it's always too far, too little. And that's one of the really neat things. But the other neat thing is, okay, now I want to come back and read, continue reading. I press my near button. It takes 3.8 seconds to come back. But as long as I don't move my paper, it's right back to where I left off reading. If I'm moving the camera of the eBot Advanced manually with my hand, and I move it from the far position back to the near reading position, I have to find my place myself. That's going to take me longer than 3.8 seconds. So that's really the glory of it is, number one, you're moving it with the joystick. It's a lot more sensitive than moving it by hand. And number two, it remembers the position, and it comes right back to it. Now, the distance position is always changing because, you know, the instructor wrote something new on the board, or you might have to read the top of the PowerPoint presentation on that, you know, 20-foot-high screen that's in the auditorium at UC Berkeley, where I actually, the first time I used the eBot, I was part of a low-vision presentation at UC Berkeley School of Optometry, and the doctor presenting before me had a PowerPoint, and it's projected on a 20-foot-high screen. And I was sitting eight rows back at the top of the auditorium using the e-bot. So, yeah, every time you want to go to distance and read something, chances are the position of where that is changed. But when you come back to your reading, you don't really want to be, if you have an e-bot Pro, you don't want to be moving your paper. You want to let the camera find where you were last reading. And then guess what? Because the camera moves, I don't have to move my paper. I just use my little joystick on my remote, have the monitor at my normal viewing distance, okay, which for me is pretty close, like 8 inches, 6 inches. And I just move my joystick to the right, and the camera moves to the right and reads my line. As long as I line my paper up straight, I'm good. And then I press a button just to the right of the joystick called Enter, and it does a carriage return for me. So that's pretty cool. So just saying you motorize the camera isn't, it's not wow technology that we motorize. That's not a terribly big deal, but it's the benefit it gives you. Okay, one more thing. No, the camera's moving. The camera's motorized, so the camera actually moves and reads across the line. The paper, yeah, we do have a, it's a platform that's 9 inches by 12, so it accommodates the standard 8.5 by 11 paper, yeah. And when you push, we push the paper up against the back control panel, that you can use it as an edge to line your paper up straight. Okay, so I'm not having to line it up visually. You just push it all the way to the back, and it's lined up straight, unless my paper was cut crooked. Or unless the pages of my book are start misaligning because my binding's breaking up. So I mean, there can always be some other factors. But there's one more thing I haven't mentioned. Someone asked in the back if it's a standalone OCR, which it's not intended to be. Because when I give you the price, you're going to say, well, it's a little bit expensive to be a standalone OCR. Correct. Because it's doing a lot more than a standalone OCR does. But there's built into that back control panel is an SD card slot. So if you scan something, you want to save it, you save it to your SD card slot. You capture an image of something, you want to save just that image, save it to your SD card. If you want to record a video, so you, at the end of a class, you want to, there's three boards. I was at Santa Cruz County Office of Education, and they actually have three boards in the class. One straight ahead, one to the right, one to the left, and I'm like, I'm starting to feel sorry for students these days. Actually, in my day, they only had one board, and the teacher would erase everything. Now the teachers don't like to erase stuff. That's why they have three boards. They leave it all up. Yeah, black and chalky, and yeah. Yeah, I kind of wonder, what do they do to a kid for detention now when they have smart boards? I guess he writes with his stylus on his laptop screen, and it shows up on the smart board or something 100 times. In that case, all he has to do is cut and paste, right? He doesn't have to write it. Yeah, detention must have changed since my day. So yeah, you know, if you want to record at the end of class, just, you know, take your camera to the distance position, record what's on each board in the class, and save it onto your SD card slot. So it saves the videos. If you want to record the class, you can. It'll actually record the audio too. Okay. It's just SD card. Yeah. And. It's interesting. Why did we go with an SD card? I actually don't have the engineering answer for that yet. That's one of my mystery questions that my engineer, I send them emails every day, and they choose which questions to answer for me. I'm thinking that maybe some of the questions to them are so easy that they think answering that they would insult me. I don't know. But that's one of them that they've glossed over several times and not answered for me. Yeah, the writing works better than most. I think I know because I've used CCTVs for Hush since 1974. I think I know what you're saying. I mean, some of them cast shadows. You have to hold your pen at a certain point. You can't fit your pen in there at your preferred writing angle, so you're having to write in holding your hand and wrist in a different position. You know, because the camera's up high, the camera is actually up about 9 inches. Okay. And it has, unlike most portable video magnifiers, most of them don't have built-in LED lights. They're just depending on the room's ambient light, and they're depending on the auto white balance of the camera. And keep in mind, most of them currently don't even use HD cameras. So the auto balance is of a standard definition, not a high definition camera. But we actually implemented LED lights. So there's on the camera, on all four corners of the housing of the camera, we have an LED light. And the LED light is not one that would hurt your eyes if it was pointed at you. So even though when you go to a distance, the lights automatically shut off. But if you wanted to keep them on, you could, and it won't hurt anyone's eyes. So we selected that carefully. And yeah, when you're writing, you know, I would suggest generally use a white pen with the black tip, or, you know, a light colored pen with a dark tip. And that's how you're generally going to, that's one of the writing hints is, you know, you'll actually see where your pen point is if the tip is darker and the rest of the pen is lighter. If the whole thing's darker, then, you know, it's interesting. You don't quite find where it ends. But when you have most of it white, like 90% of it white or light colored, and then you have just a dark tip, then you kind of know, oh, that's where my tip is, right near that dark area. So I actually have used it for writing, and I use it just fine, yeah. I was, again, impressed that it's not casting shadows, and so, okay. No, it's not carriage return and line feed, just carriage return. And so, yeah, it doesn't know what your magnification level is, so it doesn't know how much to line feed it. Yeah, it's just a visual display. The information is not actually in the camera. It's just displaying through the camera. Yeah. Yeah, you have to move. It just does a return to your left margin. Yeah. You have to move up to your next line with your joystick. If you're reading small, you probably only have to go up every few lines. If you're reading larger, then yeah, you might have to pinch up the line each time. Now I can get to pricing for you, even though there are some additional differences. So there's EBOT, reading, writing, and distance, no OCR, okay? That one's $2,695. And I can give you some comparisons in prices so you can see if that's a good price or not. Okay, the EBOT Advance, which you get the remote control because you need that to capture your OCR, and you get the screen image OCR. What you see is what you hear on the screen. Okay, what you see on the screen is what you're going to hear read. And that's $300 more, $2,995. Then the EBOT Pro, which has two cameras now, a dedicated live video camera so we preserve your HD image quality, and it has a dedicated OCR camera so we can do a full-page OCR, plus the motorized camera features, benefits, and the SD card slot, etc. That one is $3,895. Now, comparison speaking, some of you may have heard of some of these products. I'm not picking on these products, because, like I say, I'm actually going to tell you about a few other products real quick and that are not here. You're going to have to research them, and hopefully some distributors may pick up some of these products here in California. But there's a product called Transformer from Enhanced Vision, and Transformer is $2,145. It's not an HD camera. It doesn't interface with iPads or Android tablets. Okay. And it doesn't have the high quality image that you're going to get out of an HD camera. So right there, they're equally priced in the ballpark. Okay. Then for $300 more, you're getting screen image OCR. So really, people in the market say, wow, that's reasonable. If all I want is the OCR as a supplement, not the OCR as my primary media, then that's pretty good. Now. The higher priced unit at $3,895, again, there's the other products in that category. There's a product called Flick, and it's priced at $3,495, but it doesn't do the iPad and Android compatibility. Okay, so I'm going to say that's the main feature, but it doesn't have a motorized camera. The camera moves, but it's not motorized in that it goes to the same position. It doesn't have that positioning that really gives you the benefit. The camera won't really read across the line. What you have to do is connect it to like a Microsoft Surface, then you can use the gestures. Oh, did I forget that, by the way? Forget to tell you that when you put the EBOT image on an iPad or an Android, you can also use the common touchscreen gestures. I always leave it for the end. Question? I'm hoping to have it here. Yeah, in the beginning, I apologize that it's stuck in customs. We were shipping it back from Canada, and I got a call today from my office when I arrived here in Sacramento saying it's stuck in customs. Canada's not letting it back into the U.S. for some reason.
Yeah, I want to remind everybody that the exhibit hall closes at 2 o'clock on Saturday, but also James is going to close a little earlier because he has a lovely wife at Mountain View.
Yes. Oh, thank you, Bernice. Yeah. We met when we were babies. Same hospital. I have another claim to fame. I was born in the same hospital as Obama. And I will tell you, my birth certificate doesn't look like his. But I'll also tell you why, and I don't know whether his is legit or not, but I'll tell you why. It's because mine is a certificate of live birth. He doesn't have his. His is a copy from the archives. So that's why it really looks different. But it is funny. I have a brother that is born 2 months before him, and I would always joke saying that their birth certificates don't look the same. And that hospital on Oahu is probably a hospital where 80% of the kids are born, you know, back in that day. Kapiolani Hospital. Kapiolani. Yeah, yeah, good Hawaiian. Really? Wow. So you've been there. You've been to Hawaii. Okay. Ah, McKinley is a school for the blind. That's where the school, yeah. Yeah. In fact, you know, when this happened to me my senior year when I lost my vision, this was second semester in February, and the Department of Rehab, which is called Ho'opono there, they actually told me I'd have to go to school for the blind. And my high school said, hell no. He's going to graduate from here. So I give a lot of credit to these people standing up for me. And why I had so much confidence to go on myself and never questioned it. So, no, that's Obama's school. I went to Iolani. I was competitors with Obama, but I'm 4 years older than he is. if you can't see it here, if it doesn't get here, if you can't see it, and I'll be leaving at about 1:30, so I'm not cutting it too short if it does come. 1:30 on Saturday. Yeah. My wife allowed me to work, but I had to be home for dinner on our anniversary because on Monday we're going to go to Hawaii for a family reunion. Yeah. I'll think of all of you when I'm on the beach in Kona. Okay. Any questions about eBot? If you can't see it, don't worry. There's going to be at least 2 or 3 dealers in Northern California. There's going to be 2 to 4 dealers in Southern California. I come to California all the time. My wife actually operates a company. She owns it, not me now, but a company called Freedom Vision. It has a showroom in Mountain View. So if you can ever get there, it's by appointment only, so you get one-on-one attention. And it's a desktop and portable video magnifiers and OCR products showroom. Not through the company now. I will just generally say to you that in general, companies have come up with financing plans from time to time, and we never run enough volume through to keep the finance company happy, so they always drop it. Can you hear that? Here, let me give the microphone.
But if anyone is working independently, contracting out or whatever, we have the Committee on Employment Assistance. I've used it myself, and I plan to use it again because I'm probably going to get a Braille embosser. So, yes, that's a way to circumvent having to try to pay it all at once.
Okay, just in the interest of time, I'm going to move on a little. I'm going to just tell you about a product that I do have, and you can come to the booth, and someone's going to help me out at the booth, a friend of mine. Some of you may know him. His name is John Glass. Okay, John's going to be helping me out. John uses a number of products from HIMSS, and so does his wife. And because of these new products, my staff is just traveling everywhere. And so I asked John if he could help me out here, and he was so gracious and agreed. So we have a new product called Blaze EZ. Blaze EZ. And it's a book player. It's a new book player from HIMSS, but it has something different. It has an OCR. So it's a new category of a book player, a book player with an OCR. Has anyone tried using the OCR apps on an iPhone or Android? Right. Well, come and try the Blaze. I'm going to tell you, it's not perfect. This is the prototype. It's not shipping until the first week in June. And just like with a video magnifier, the last thing that they fine-tune is the image quality. They stabilize the image quality and lock it in at the very last thing before engineering gives it to production. And it's the same thing with an OCR device. You know, they perfect it and they lock it in as the very last thing. So, but I'm actually able to use this. I've been reading menus on my trips. Of course, the menu cannot be scripted; it has to be printed. Okay, because scripting is like handwriting. But the Blaze is going to sell for $695. And some of you remember, I guess, the KNFB reader when it was attached to, you know, dedicated to a Nokia phone and all that. So I think it was, what was that by itself, $499, something like that. So it can read around the medicine bottle a little bit, yeah. So it can't read, of course, all the way around, but it reads, I'd say, two-thirds of the around. Blaze, be like boy, Blaze. We're setting a pace of innovation, ablaze, blazing the trail. That's. Beg your pardon? Oh, that good question for me. Any connection with Dean Blasey? Because we call it Blaze, space, capital E, capital Z, Blaze E Z. We never realized this until people started saying something at CSUN. Product naming products is really hard, and we reject 99.999% of the names that come up. We're really our worst critics internally, and every now and then we miss something. So yeah, when you say it fast, the name is Blazy Z. So people think, oh, Blazy. But no, Dean Blasey, who is a name and an icon in our field, and he's kind of retired. He's still doing some work. Oh yeah, he's doing some work more or less pro bono with some of the Braille agencies. He's actually been doing some stuff under a national science grant with the National Braille Press, exactly. And so I see him every now and then, actually. Yeah, no, exactly. And so I'm going to have to call Dean about this, actually, because I'm sure he's probably heard about it by now, and let him know no harm intended and make me. Yeah. Well, actually, if he did, I actually thought, what if he did? Which I don't think Dean would. I know Dean quite well, and he knows me. But what if he did? I'd actually like it because it would give us publicity. just like I don't mind if Google sues me. That would give me a lot of publicity. It'd make the newspapers, right? Our industry would become famous. And I don't have enough money for Google to sue me, though. That's always the rule. That's right. If you're going to sue someone, make sure they have a lot more money than you do. So anyway, let me just try a sample. Let me turn this on, and I'll just kind of show you a sample. So it takes about 30 to 40 seconds to actually turn on, because it has to load all of the OCR, you know, software in it. It's not just electronically powering. April 10, 2014. Okay, pretty good. Yeah, it's on the East Coast. So let me get out a piece of paper here. Let's see. I'll have it scan something that it's not scanned before. Let's see, what should we have it scan? I'm going to briefly go over some of these other products. Let's see. Okay, we'll have it scanned. Never seen this before. And let's see if I can do it. If I can do it, anybody can do it. Okay, we might be ready.
All right, I'm just going to give it a try. So I'm going to hold it about 8 to 10 inches over.
Take a picture.
It says take a picture. Okay.
All right.
It's going to process. Let's see if it does it. If I don't get in the first try, you'd be better in the second. So, again, for $6.95, where all the features is not going to be the fastest process.
6SMNETWXTE8 cable and WDL plug. Audio and audio got.
I'm going to stop it because I obviously picked a specific ETA. Yeah. let me take. Okay, how about the eBot brochure? Then we can have it. You can hear the features of the eBot.
All right, let's see.
Roger, are you going to
hit on? Oh, behind you. I think I'm here. Was it coming through the speaker at all?
No.
Video magnifier with Ocker, T, and eBot. The first and only portable e, right and distance video magnifiers with Ocker. An iPad connectivity. Connect eBot to your capture Android tablet. Mac operating with the Mac for 3. Mining or disk and single core C eBot creates its own dedicated Wisconsin or hotspot T wirelessly to tablets. Just install the eBot app, see, then launch it for a quick and automatic pinch and swipe gestures to change the zoom.
Okay, so
it did quite a good job, and I even mentioned I thought I had turned it, of course, the process. So it does have a volume, and I'm turning the volume up. So yeah, pronounce it somewhere funny, of course, like OCR or something. Okay. But, yeah, I'm not sure what word it picked up, and I think it just because I turned it again. Could be Wi-Fi, yeah. This is where Wayne knows tons more than I do technological. But come up and try it. You know, bring something that can try it. Maybe I'll ask we'll tell it by tomorrow menu. You can try it. You can kind of see what the menu looks like and know what the menu looks like. That could work. So that's what's interesting. It's actually working. I've tried
using the OCR apps off of the iPhone, and I can't get them working. The other thing with the OCR apps on the iPhone, you know, I don't know, they don't seem to process the graphics out very well either. So, whereas, you know, what we're using, actually, that's what all the processing is about. It's trying to understand the blank lines and the formatting, but also if it sees pictures, it's got to get rid of those pictures. It deletes them. It takes a picture of them originally, but then it determines it's not text. And that's one of the things it has to do, is determine what's text and what's not, and ignore what's not text. Yeah. Right. The question was, you know, does it see the pictures, and what does it do when it sees them?
Yeah.
It just ignores it or deletes it. And, you know, so the Blaze has a music button, and it has an M in Braille on it. It has a radio button, has an R in Braille, and so it has internet radio. And it has a books button, and it says it in print, but in Braille on the button is a B for books. And so, you know, it'll do your NLS and your Bookshare, your Learning Ally, and Daisy Books, your Audible books from Amazon. Okay, so it's a book player. It can record as a recorder. It uses as an SD card slot. It'll take up to the 128 gigabyte SD cards. It has 12 gigabytes built-in storage. All kinds of features on it, actually. $695. Blaze. Blaze-E-Z. Oh, yeah. If you're in a state that the state requires sales tax, then there is sales tax, yeah. Can't get away from the governor. So, yeah, come up and see that. Now, some other devices I wanted to mention. And these are low-vision devices. We're getting back to some head-mounted displays. Do you remember there was a product called Jordy and a product called Elvis? And then it kind of went away the last, 3 years? And one of the reasons was that, you know, the parts availability that companies had bought kind of got consumed by their production. But there's a comeback in these devices. And I just want to describe, there's three different kinds of devices. Let me get the paperwork here. So one of them is called Orcam, and it's an Israeli company. And there, what they really have, you wear it like glasses. It has a camera. It's an OCR type of camera. And so if I'm holding something in my hand and wearing the glasses, then I point to where I want it to read. And it sees my finger. That's the trigger. And the camera will snap the image when it sees my finger stop, when it sees my finger pause. Then it will begin reading from that point onward. Okay? And it kind of works for most print. I will give it that. They say that in the future they'll be able to use the camera for face recognition. I'm not sure how they're going to do that if it's an OCR camera. I've got to think about that one long and hard. They say you can use it in stores on food items. You know, so it'll work even on the small print on food items. We tried it on a canned good and it was not working well at all. We tried it on a cereal box, and it wasn't working at all. They thought it had to do with the contrast. They've sold 100 in the United States. The United States is the only market it's available in right now. They say you can see at a distance, too. You just kind of point your finger in the air, and it's going to see what's beyond your finger and try to capture and read it. The problem I found doing that is the camera has only a certain field. So when I point, I think I'm looking at this sign that has, for example, the name of a company that's exhibiting in a booth. And, for example, their own company, Orcam. And so I'm pointing at their booth sign that says Orcam, and I can see that there's five letters, but I can't make out the letters. Well, and I can't see what the camera can see. That's the problem. And so it came and it said Orca. It didn't see the M of Orcam. And so I said, "What's Orca?" And then he looked and he couldn't figure out. I said, "Oh, that's your company without an M." So that's kind of one of the problems that it has. So I think they need to perfect it a little more, but they say that they've sold 100 in the United States. They're taking orders for their next 100. They have more than 50. And the way that they're looking at distributing this is direct orders. And after you order it, they have they're trying to hire people. And what they really want are occupational therapists. They want OTs that will go to New York for training. And they actually pay the expenses for the training. Then they want to call the OT and say, "We have a consumer in your area, and we will pay you a certain amount of money to go out and train that person on how to use it." So they're trying to take kind of a paraprofessional approach to this. And sometimes, you know, there's some OTs understand low vision. Most of them don't. For those that do, I think they could do very well at this, but those that do are actually pretty busy because, yeah, we need more OTs in the low vision area, actually. But, you know, it's interesting that now there's an OCR that's camera that's mounted on glasses, and you can point, and it starts reading at what you're pointing at, and that part it does pretty good. But this pointing in the air and facial recognition, you can watch a video or listen to a video on the OrCam website, and so it's some of the things that they say that it does, and they're showing it all failed in person. They exhibited at the AFB Leadership Conference, and that's where I saw them, and I met the marketing manager, who's from Israel. But he speaks perfect American English, and it's because his parents are from America. I asked him 2 times, why is your English so good? Okay, there's another head-mounted display that this one's different. This one's really more for someone who's totally blind and, you know, can't even see what they're pointing at, so to speak. And this one is from a company called EcoSense. And many of you know that the HIMSS products might have been called Sense, like BookSense, BrailleSense, VoiceSense, Sense View. Yeah, so EcoSense. I thought it was part of HIMSS when I first heard it. I actually called the CEO and said, do we have a product called EcoSense? It's actually Echo, not Eco, but you know, sometimes I've seen it without the H. I don't know if they misspelled it. So it's actually EcoSense. The product is called Checkmates. And it's, again, kind of a glasses, and they'll put different colored lenses in it and so forth. But it's intended actually for somebody who's very low vision or someone who's blind, and it's network glasses. So you have the glasses, it connects to a power supply, it connects to a phone, and it's a certain HTC phone that it works on. And that phone is what communicates with a server somewhere. And you have a little tube. It's their own little technology. It's a little tube that goes into your ear, so you don't have this full earpiece. And what it does is, you turn it on verbally, so you can talk to it, and you say, checkmate, volume, and it can come on. I mean, you can actually, there's different words that they offer, or you might even be able to train it. They're not exactly sure. They've released a few of these. I saw Stevie Wonder walking around with the demo model at CSUN. And what it is when you initiate it, it contacts someone who they call a caregiver, but it could contact, you know, your son, your daughter, your friend, you know, anyone that you're linked up with, and it'll go to their mobile phone, or it'll go to their laptop computer. And what the camera is seeing from the glasses that you're wearing, okay, the camera's kind of mounted like in between your eyes, you know, that forehead piece in between your eyes, and what the camera is seeing, that person on the other end is seeing, and they're telling you what therefore is in front of you. So you can use it in a store. You can pick up a box and look at the box, and it'll say, okay, move it up a bit, okay, a little over to the right, okay, now that's the ingredients. Now move it a little closer, then they can start reading you the ingredients. The company is EcoSense, and the product is called Checkmates with an S. And the basis for the name is you're checking on your mates. You know, the British or Australian term, mate, you're checking on your mate. But for some reason, they put the S on there, and that's where it comes on. So someone's checking on their mate. You're helping them out. And actually, this technology, it's actually kind of technology that's in the main marketplace. They actually are having emergency medical people. They'll put the glasses on. They can see through the glasses because they're sighted, of course. But the camera is looking at what they're looking at, the injury of the person. The video of that is being streamed. This is on video. This networking is streaming. It's streaming video. And so the video of what that emergency medical person is seeing is streaming back to a doctor's office or an emergency room. And they're telling the EMC person, try this, do that, you know. It could be for interpreting, yeah. I'm not sure they discovered that niche yet. It's in sports, that one sports scout might be, you know, at some combine observing different athletes, and he's wearing this camera. Basically, it's like a camera helmet, right? But it's really just glasses with a camera built in. And it might be streaming to, you know, coaches all around the country, what he's seeing an athlete work out. So they're using it in sports. So this technology is not specific to the blind or visually impaired. And that's what eventually might make it affordable. By the way, the OrCam, current orders, when you order direct, is $2,500. The normal price is $3,000, they say. But because you're pre-ordering, you're paying $2,500. The the checkmates is $3,000. It's $29.95. And you get 2 years of free server access. Free server access is basically the server that's handling all the streaming of the video. After the 2 years, the current price is you're paying $30 a month for that streaming video. But you also need to have your own plan, your own phone plan, in order for it to work. So the company that's distributing it is in the process of setting up a plan with T-Mobile. And all you need is the plan. You don't need a phone. All you need is the plan, because it'll work with the glasses. And it'll range between $25 and $50, depending on how much, you know, memory you want. Do you just want 1 gigabyte? Do you want 10 gigabytes? So they're going to have programs from $25 to $50 going up in about $5 increments. So there is an extra cost for the checkmates on a, you know, continuing basis, because it's networking and live streaming video. Okay? Then there's another product called eSight. And the eSight is the closest thing to like a Jordy that used to be available from Enhanced Vision. It's only available currently in Canada. It's a Canadian company that's making it. But whereas the Jordy, you know, you couldn't wear it. You know, if you were going to walk around, you had to flip it up on the top of your head like some people do their sunglasses when they go indoors, get out of the sun, or just to look cool. So this one, you can actually flip the goggles up or flip the monitors up, so you can actually just see through and walk around. You know, it needs to have, FDA approval, and that's why it's not currently available in the United States. They're talking with a Chicago Lighthouse, is what I heard, about distributing it in the United States. So you can find it. It's called eSight. eSightWear, WEAR. And so you can find them on the internet. And I did meet a guy at CSUN who was using these, and he was from Canada. He was walking around with them. So, I think there's a little comeback in the head-mounted displays. So when you hear the term HMD, it means head-mounted display, at least in this field of visual impairment blindness. And it's not only for people with low vision. It can be for someone who's blind if you're looking at the checkmate. Does anybody else know of any other head-mounted displays that are on the market or coming out? Yeah, I know that there's at least one more that's in development, but I don't know anything about it. So we'll see. I think that company's trying to figure out which way they want to go right now. So the product's in research. It's not actually in development. But you can see the Orcam has taken one approach, you know, with an OCR-type camera and using your finger as the trigger point for the image to be snapped. Another company is using, you know, streaming video. But then this makes it available to someone who's totally blind, and someone can tell them what, you know, their, quote, eyes, their camera eye is actually seeing. And then another approach is just your typical, you know, video camera with built-in, you know, simulated 60-inch monitors in each eye, you know, with about 70-degree field, 60 to 70-degree field in each eye. So there's different approaches by the different companies so far. So I think this fourth company has it in development and just trying to figure out what approach if they're going to take, or is there even another approach to take. So I think this is kind of an exciting part of low vision. Some other products you might see here. Freedom Scientific has a new Onyx. So it's HD now, and I'm not sure if it talks like the DaVinci, but there is some attention that it got at the CSUN conference. There's a portable video magnifier that is distributed by Optelec. Optelec doesn't actually make it. It's made by a company, it's a Dutch company, but they make it in Ireland called Rayhan. But they're selling it in the United States and another number of countries through Optelec. And Optelec's calling it the Compact 5 HD Touch, because you use touchscreen gestures. Beg your pardon? Oh, you've got the Compact 7? Yeah, but that's not touchscreen. Yeah, it's not touchscreen. Well,
When you use the freeze frame, you can do the pinch and enlarge on the freeze frame. It's interesting. But you have the plus and the minus to magnify and bring down the zoom. But when you do the freeze frame, I do it for like serial numbers and stuff. I'll put it back, I'll freeze frame and they'll bring it to me. And you can adjust the color contrast, the color choices, but you also can zoom and pinch just on the freeze frame.
Yeah, I've been waiting for the portable video magnifiers to have, you know, touchscreen gestures. So, I know Enhanced Vision, they're talking about coming out with more, maybe two new products later this year or early next year. So they're kind of in a dormant state at the moment. I know that they announced something at a meeting last Saturday, but I'm not supposed to say what it is because I'm not supposed to know. It wasn't at the meeting. but I heard that the dealers don't like it, so I think it's going to be delayed a little longer. That's probably why I shouldn't say, because it's not going to be shown here. I chose to tell you about the head-mounted displays and about the iPad compatibility, because I think those are a little more revolutionary, you know, or evolutionary, I guess you could say. But I guess, these companies are trying to be a little creative here and not just developing Me Too products. That's one thing about HIMS, my company, is our intent is we don't want to develop Me Too products. Of course, you know, a lot of the fundamental features have to be the same. You know, it has to magnify. It has to have different image mode colors and, contrast level and brightness level adjustment. But, we always want to have a twist or an angle on what we're doing. That's why, like with the Blaze, we added OCR to it. So we said there's no Daisy player with OCR, and the blind and very low vision, you know, have a real problem even with iPhone apps, because we can't get the image in there properly, or we can't hold it at the proper angles. But, you know, these are $5, $10, and $20 apps anyway. So, you know, for the amount of money you pay, it's probably doing a decent job, but it just doesn't work for us. So we tried to get one with the Blaze that would work for the blind and visually impaired. Yes, go ahead.
I have a question that I have a friend / client who is has dual sensory loss. She's more vision impaired than hearing impaired, and she has an iPhone, and she wears a headset for her iPhone, and she'd like, when she's not at home, to capture the image of a paper, like, and scan it and listen to it. Do you know of anything that can do that?
Basically, you're looking for an OCR for an iPhone. Yeah, there's a number of them. You can actually just go into the iPhone store and search for them. I mean, one is called Prism. Right, Prism doesn't work, and that's one of the better ones, actually. No, Prism's an app. She just downloads it and puts it into the iPhone, but it really isn't working for blind and low vision now. That's why we developed this. I mean, this is the Blaze, so it's a little smaller than an iPhone. Right. Sure, you can connect a headset to it. Yeah. Has 695, yeah. And with HIMS products, anytime we improve the software, once you're an owner of a product, every time we improve the software, you're entitled to a free download. We've never charged for software upgrades. We've never sold a software maintenance agreement. That's one of our missions. We're trying to get the industry to change. And one company, HumanWare, has changed. They no longer sell software maintenance agreements for their Braille products, which competes with our Braille products. So, and to us, it makes sense because it lowers our tech support cost. It improves our customer satisfaction because when people call for tech support, our tech support people don't need to know, well, which version are you running? Well, let me look that up, because a person could be running five generations ago. Because our firmware is free, most of our customers are running our current software. Maybe at any point in time, 15-20% of our customers are running a previous version, and at that, only one version back. So it actually reduces our cost and our headache and our overhead a lot.
Mm-hmm. So now I'm trying to remember all the wonderful features that the Blaze Easy had. You snap a picture and it reads it. That was one of the many features. Okay, great. Okay.
This is a printout, and I think I'm still having it in image capture mode. Again, this is just a printout from my $20 inkjet printer. Oh, didn't like it. $20 printer, the after Christmas sale at Walmart. Those people are sort of the ignored majority who are visually impaired. Yeah.